Hi there, ma'am. How are you today?
I'm fine. May I help you?
Well, actually, I'm going to help you. See, I'm going to show you the most amazing vacuum cleaner.
No, thank you.
This is the last vacuum cleaner you are ever going to need.
No, thank you.
This vacuum cleaner is so easy to use. It is so light.
No, thank you.
Death of a Salesman will not be presented at this time, so we may bring you this special podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Ever heard of John Mayhall?
I hadn't until today, and now I know who he is.
Died. Sorry to bum you out. He was 90. That's a good run, but he was a British band leader. Kind of they called him the godfather of British blues.
Blues, I think. Yeah.
Going back to California. So many good things around.
Well, he was a great musician. He could play like every instrument. He became most famous because he was a recruiter and a kind of a polisher of other acts like Eric Clapton, Peter Green, Mick Taylor. All these people would leave John Mayhall's band to go to their own bands. Clapton went to Cream and Mick Taylor went to the Rolling Stones. But the point is, John Mayhall was pretty special to a lot of musicians, but his name was not as big as theirs. Take off and go do your thing and don't look back, and that's pretty cool.
What's interesting is that it says seven of his members of his band went on to be honored in the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And I also just read that they announced a couple months ago that this guy, Mayhall, is going to be inducted this fall. So there you go. He's going to get some recognition.
Yeah, that's nice. But wouldn't it have been nice if it had happened while he was
I know.
Still kicking?
You know, we're going to be honoring you with a whole bunch of crap after you croak. You just wait. Peter Green, Fleetwood Mac.
Let's get through the rest of these.
Oh, my gosh. Who else? Oh, I know there were a couple of actors, right? I've lost track. I don't even know what's happening anymore.
Let me handle this part of it,
okay? All right, go do the thing. I'm trying to help, and I'm clearly not.
Duke Fakir, last of the Four Tops.
Oh!
He was the tenor singer in the Four Tops. He was 88. And also passed away, Happy Traum. I know this is going to hit you hard.
Uh-oh. I don't know who that is.
Well, I guess it's not going to hit you that hard after
all.
Well,
it might once you tell me who it is. Who is it?
He was a guitarist and banjo player. He passed at the age of 86. And collaborated with Bob Dylan and a bunch of other people. He was what you call a sideman.
I'm a stranger to this country from America I came.
A sideman in the restaurant industry means that you make coleslaw.
Clouds are swell, the rain falling in. Gonna say a movie called Gunga Din. Pack up your money, pull up your tents, McGuinn. You ain't going nowhere.
This is a guy that, this is, I'm going to show my corny, sappy side here right now. But every time I used to hear this song, I would weep. And I'm not kidding.
Please come to Boston, she said no. Would you come home to me?
Dave Loggins passed away, 76, wrote songs for Kenny Rogers, the Elk Ridge Boys, and Willie Nelson. But this song killed me every time. Please come to to Boston.
Yeah.
And she said, "Hey, rambling boy, why don't you settle down? Denver ain't your kind of town. There ain't no gold and there ain't nobody like me. 'Cause I'm the number one fan of the man from Tennessee."
And I don't know why it got me. It's about a guy trying to get his girlfriend to join him in these different towns, and she keeps saying, "Come on, man, come back here. This is, I love you, and this is where you belong, and come to me." And it just, it would rip me up every time, even though I could not relate to it because none of that was my experience. Nonetheless, it just got me every time. Dave Loggins, second cousin of Kenny Loggins, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I interviewed Kenny Loggins on radio once.
Did
Very
you?
Nice man. I did.
I know I've told you this Kenny Loggins story before, but that won't stop me from telling it again.
Please tell it again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. If you insist.
Please, Pat. Please,
oh, okay. Okay.
Come on.
God, I'm tired of telling this story, but.
Come on. Just tell it again.
All right. I will. And I remember it was the Alaska Airlines employees, and they had a big all employees thank you sort of thing. And they were at the Puyallup Fairgrounds, and they had a special private concert for the employees of Alaska Airlines featuring Kenny Loggins. And so I was the MC for this thing. So I thought, I'd be glad to MC it. "Hey, can I meet Kenny?" And they said, "Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, tell you what, after you get up there and do your jokes and your lame stuff that you do, then come off the stage, and if you run around to the other side of the stage, behind the stage, Kenny will just be about to come out, and you can meet him there."
Okay.
I said, okay. Well, that's not exactly what I wanted. I wanted to go, into his trailer and gab with him for a while. But, no, okay, I'll take that. So I introduce him. I do the jokes and all that stuff. And I say, "And now, here he is, Kenny Loggins." And I knew that his band would first come out, so I'd have a few seconds to get back there. So I go out stage right and run around to the other side, stage left, where Kenny's going to enter. And I go and I run up to him and I go, "Hey, Kenny, Pat Cashman, I just introduced you." Before he said, "Hey, good to see you." And he grabs one of those spray things with, to freshen your breath.
Yeah.
He goes, says, "See you later." And he runs out on stage. That was my Kenny Loggins meeting.
And you know what you also said? I wanted to say something quickly here. You said enter instead of enter. So you like, and then he came and he entered. He didn't enter. He entered. Why'd you say that?
Thank you, school marm. Well, Jesus, come on.
I know. My fur has been going up this week over people I heard somebody say mischievous, and if I hear somebody say mischievous one more time, I'm going to shoot myself in the hair. I can't stand it. It's not mischievous. It's mischievous.
Thank you, school marm.
Well, if I'm not the sheriff, who will be?
You know. I don't even have anything to say. I just love the sound of this.
I know you do.
God, that's cool.
You know what would be great? I'm going to get me one of them.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to get me one of them, and we're going to do a whole episode.
Look, you just corrected everybody, and then you say, "I'm going to get me one of them."
I'm going to get me one of them.
No, it's okay. I get that you're just being funny, but...
I'm just being funny.
You undermine your credibility when you say that, even though I know you're joking. So be careful.
I'm gonna get me one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get through this stuff here. Lou Dobbs.
That's very familiar. Was he? I don't know who was he. That's a familiar name.
78 years old. A big Trump fan. He was on Fox Business as a host
Okay. Now I know who
and
he is.
And I've heard him say on the air, Donald Trump is the greatest president in the history of presidencies. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's always better to be challenged. It's always better to challenge. The audience expects, at least of me, to express my opinion. You know, it's the public arena.
But the only reason I bring him up is that he started, well, I don't know if he started, but he was at King TV, a TV station in Seattle, when I started in 1979, believe it or not.
Really?
I went to King, and he
did
was
Did you
the,
know him? Did you meet him?
Yeah.
Did you know
sure.
him? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I know him. And he was a weekend news anchor at King, and very competent, very good. And then he decided that he'd gotten an offer for a upstart news cable service that everybody said, don't go. This is going to bomb. And it was called CNN. Oh. And he went there and he became a pretty big deal. And then he went to different other places and then wound up at Fox. And somewhere along the way, he became nuts, in my opinion.
The rights of Americans to bear arms, rights guaranteed, of course, by the Second Amendment, are being threatened.
Yeah, but I never heard from him. And then one day I go and I am the MC at some big event. I think it was in Chicago, and I'm the MC. And guess what? He's one of the guest speakers. So I'm backstage with him, and I reintroduce myself. At that time, he was with CNN, and I said, "So how's it going?" He said, "I'm gonna go over to a different. I'm about to quit CNN. I haven't told them yet, but I'm gonna leave, and I'm gonna take this other gig because then I can offer more." Of my opinions.
There are lots of opinions about the integrity of the election, the irregularities of mail-in voting, of election voting machines, and voting software.
Okay, a couple others. Shannon Daugherty, 53 years old.
Yeah, and it's not Daugherty. What's with you today?
Oh,
it's
my God, you're correcting everything. God.
Driving me crazy. Shannon Daugherty.
Why are you being so mischievous?
There's not five syllables in her name. It's two. Daugherty.
So you're Brandon's sister, huh?
Yeah, I'm Brandon's sister. Yeah, she's Brandon's sister.
Bye, girls.
He's so weird. Yeah.
So what was her name again? I'm so sorry.
Shannon Daugherty, I believe.
Right. So when we were on the air and you used to play Sade, which I love Sade, is a musical artist.
Spelled S-A-D-E.
You would say, it was so simple. You'd say, and you know, at the time and the call letters of the station, and that, of course, was a hit by Sade, and the phones would light them. Would just light up because everybody just jumped on you for mispronouncing your name. That used to make me laugh.
And now the music of Sade. I'm not joking. It's pronounced Sade.
Okay. Anyway, so Shannon Daugherty, I know. I didn't realize she had a...
I wish I'd said Daugherty to begin with. Daugherty. That would have shortened up this whole podcast.
You said Daugherty.
I don't know. I don't even know.
You try that. To get so
I never
fancy.
Watched Beverly Hills 90210.
You never watched it?
Oh, God, no. Gee, no. Hell
so
no.
You're so hoity-toity.
Damn no. You know? Doctor no. Jeez, no.
Anyway, so
first of all, I'm the person who's never seen Seinfeld or Friends or any of those shows. And why is that?
Because you didn't want to be influenced.
I had to get up at 3 a.m. to go to do our radio show. So I wasn't watching primetime TV. And
that
Beverly Hills thing, I wouldn't have watched it. It was not
in
my generation.
Yeah, I was going to say you wouldn't have watched it anyway. Okay. So, yeah, Shannon. Okay, good. All right. Okay. Who else? We need to move it along here, sister.
I'm with you. God, I'm trying.
I know.
See, Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
That's right, Dr. Ruth, the Dr. sex Ruth, doctor.
The sex guru. You're 96 years old.
Wow.
And
think she
also,
was getting, hold on. Do you think she was getting it at towards 96? Think she was getting it? You know what I mean?
I think she was giving it.
Sometimes, if you don't feel aroused, if you don't feel sexually aroused at the same time, I tell you a secret. Give him an orgasm. It takes 2 minutes. It's not a big deal. Give him an orgasm. If he only touches your vagina and forgets about your nose and forgets about your breasts, you have to teach him. You have to take his hand and you have to show him what you need on your belly, on your behind. Show it to him. Don't expect him to know it by himself.
Okay. And Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
76 years old. He'd been rumored to be in poor health for a long time, but it was very secretive about it. But we had him on our radio show. Do you remember that, Lisa?
I do. Como. Yeah. Como Radio.
And it was a very lovely interview. He brings so much.
He's very nice.
He brings a lot of energy. He's a great guest because he's got dynamism. He's a good guest. But I was disconcerted because at one point in our interview, he gets up. Our studio was set up so that I was looking straight at you.
Right.
And this studio. So he had to walk around. He was sitting next to you. And then at one point, he walks around, gets up, walks around, and kisses me on the head and embraces me. Now, I'm just uncomfortable with that. I'm sorry.
You don't like being hugged and kissed on the head?
If it was Jennifer Garner, I'd be okay with it.
Oh,
but
for heaven's sake. Raquel Welch.
I'm serious. It caught me by surprise, which I think was his point. But he was a lovely man.
Hey there, it's me, Richard Simmons. Listen, are you sick and tired of boring look-alike exercise videos with synthesized elevator music and a lineup of leotard-clad Stepford wives? Well, if you are, honey, have I got the cure for you. This is my brand new aerobic workout tape, Sweating to the Oldies.
This is the problem with men, is that they don't do more hugging and kissing, so I'll just leave that right there. So I'm going to set that right over there. Okay, next.
I'm sorry. I was just hugging next. And kissing myself.
Oh, Pat.
And finally, I saved this one for last because this guy was so special. Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
Had a good long run. 94 years old.
You found a shell on the beach. You think that's unusual? Do you, Willard, finding a shell on a beach? What's the matter? Doesn't it sound like the ocean when you hold it up to your ear, Willard?
I had an uncle back in Chicago, and when I would meet him, I thought, God, reminds me of somebody. The cadence of his voice, the way he speaks, the halting, stammering thing. And then I remembered, it sounds like Bob Newhart. Turns out both of them from Chicago. I thought, is that a Chicago thing, maybe? I don't know. But that's who my uncle always reminded me of.
Pan American 715. You haven't seen United 209 up there anywhere, have you?
I never really thought of comedy as a career. People had always been saying, gee, you're funny, you think funny, you're you know, that's funny what you said, and just decided I was going to give it a try and see what happened.
And Bob Newhart was just, who didn't like him?
Gosh, no kidding.
Not like him. It was
great. His television show was great. I remember the comedy albums he used to do. I had one of his comedy records.
Yeah.
And I dabbled in, not very well, but I dabbled in stand-up comedy when I was a tender 20 years of age back in California.
I think everybody remembers
that. Yes, I'm sure they do.
A lot of hecklers listen to this podcast. So,
and I studied his records. I can't remember who else.
Probably Cosby.
Cosby. I studied Cosby.
Same era.
Yeah. And just, you know, there weren't a lot of, you know, back then you had Phyllis Diller. You didn't have a lot of
female
comics that did a Paula Poundstone, I think, was around then. So there were quite a few. But yeah, he was just so fantastic. I loved his comedy, but I loved his TV shows bet more. I mean, I just thought he was fantastic.
I feel so good. I'm going to take the afternoon off.
And everybody remembers the second series that he did, where the last episode they did a callback to his previous show with Suzanne Pleshette, and as if that had all been a dream.
I was an innkeeper in this crazy little town in Vermont.
And I read that they had to sneak Suzanne Pleshette in. They snuck her into the studio. They didn't want anybody to know what the ending of the show was going to be. I don't know how you would keep a secret like that today, but...
No kidding.
Back then, they were able to pull it off.
Yeah, it was good.
I had that first album. It was called The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart.
Oh.
And he was kind of a fledgling comic. He kind of backed into it. He was an accountant. And then he would record these bits, and he didn't really have an act. I mean, he didn't have a regular act, but they set one up for him at some nightclub somewhere, and they recorded this album. And not only did the album hit and hit big, but it won Album of the Year. Today they have a category for comedy albums.
Right.
Then they didn't. It was just Album of the Year.
Music, right.
Whatever. And he beat out Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, and people like that to win Album of the Year.
I feel very good about my career. And one of the greatest sounds in the world is laughter. And I fell in love with it the first time I heard it. And 60 years later, I was still doing it.
All right. So finally, we labored our way through that overlong part of our brilliant podcast.
Well, that was entirely your fault. That had nothing to do with me.
A friend of mine went to a restaurant the other day, and it's a restaurant. They were driving up from Arizona, and they stopped at a restaurant, and they asked the young waitress, it said, soup of the day on the menu. They said, what is your soup of the day? And the girl looked at her and said, not good. I'm sorry, what? Not good is the soup of the day. Okay. What about the coleslaw? Should I get the coleslaw? I don't like it.
Are you telling the joke of the day right now?
No, I'm just randomly telling a story that has no point. It's just an observation.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
I'm still
What is wrong with me?
I'm still upset with you. We were supposed to do this yesterday, and I'm sorry, I'm going to bring this up. We were supposed to record yesterday, and you scared me. I'm not even joking when I say this. You scared me because I was sitting here waiting for you to hop on. I don't know if people know. Maybe they don't. We aren't in the same room when we're doing this. You're in a whole nother state, and I'm up in this state, and you're down in that state, and we join online on a program that makes it possible for us to do this. So I'm sitting here, and usually if you're running late, you'll shoot me a text or something. So I was sitting here finishing up emails and blah, 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 waiting for you to hop on. And then like 15 minutes goes by. I'm like, is he okay? What the hell's happening? And then
did you hear my breathing in the echo?
You know, you can't use that as a deflection device.
I kind of am using it that way, aren't I?
I know you are.
And I apologize.
You deflect. So anyway, finally, and I'm freaking out. And this is just what I do because I think you're dead. I'm pretty sure you're dead because you wouldn't just not show up. And you scared me. So don't do that. basically you took a nap and didn't set your, have you ever heard of an alarm clock, by the way?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So well, I'm sorry.
I'm a person who gets up most mornings at 5:30 in the morning. I don't even have to set an alarm. I'm going to wake up. And
I know.
This was weird, but I went back to bed. I thought, oh my God, I'm 3 hours away from our recording time. I'm going to take another nap. And then we were going to record, I think, at 1 p.m. And
correct.
Now it is, I wake up and it's 1:20.
Yep.
And my blinking, unbelieving eyes are looking at the clock saying, oh my God, that can't be true. That can't be true. But it was.
So
and
scared.
I was so scared.
It's okay.
Well,
you know
what I would look forward to, though, Lisa?
What?
Is the tribute show that you would do. the in memoriam show. That would be, I would love to hear that.
No. I am not kidding. I don't want to get that call someday, which is why I'm planning on going out before you. So don't do that to me.
It's pretty sweet. That actually is very sweet of you. I just screwed up. I'm sorry.
I know. It's okay. You scared me. So let me tell you something. Today is my birthday. And I wanted to thank you for the only thing that made me not mad at you yesterday was when I don't know how you timed it, but right after I got done being mad at you, an Amazon box showed up on my porch and it was a present from you. So I'm like, I can't stay mad at Pat. He sent me a little birthday present.
Did it land on your porch? Because I heard that it went on your outside gate. That the Zoom guys wouldn't go in and
the
put
Zoom
it on
guys,
your
the Amazon.
Amazon, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, probably because Baby Sherman, it was outside the gate because Baby Sherman was barking and they never come in. But anyway, the point is that I got a lovely book from you, which I'm loving, When Women Ran Fifth Avenue. This is back in the day when department stores, remember department stores? We don't even really have department stores much anymore, but this is fantastic. I cannot wait to read this book.
Thought it would be something you would love because
it's great.
Yeah, the women are, the Macy's, the Gimbels, the those old-fashioned department stores, like you said, that are going away or at least have changed a lot.
But
from
this
what
is
they
where
used to
women
be.
Would gather. The women would lunch there. They'd talk to the shop girl. There were so many relationships forged out of this simple shopping, which I know a lot of people go, oh, she's shopping. But it was more than shopping. It was more than shopping. So, I mean, I can remember having lunch at Nordstrom here in Seattle. They had a cafe and you'd meet your girlfriends there and you'd have lunch and then you'd go browse the sales rack and go to the perfume counter and get free samples and go. It's just, I remember that. And so thank you for this book. And that's the only reason I'm not mad at you. Thank you.
Okay. And a couple more gifts should arrive today.
Which
well.
Your lovely wife texted me and said that. And I said, why? You've given me more than I deserve.
One of them is a home.
Don't tell me. La, 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 la.
I want you to know because I don't want you to be confused. But it's a home make your own cocaine kit.
Wait, I already have one of those.
Well, I put the little certificate in there so you can... can exchange it if you want.
Well, actually, I need a backup because mine gets clogged sometimes. So I think that's probably okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate
right.
it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
So listen, I think it's funny. So I get up this morning and, yay, it's my birthday.
I ask you a question first?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever considered getting a walk-in tub?
Are you making some stupid crack about my age?
I wanted to say something that was totally inappropriate and random just to break up the flow of the conversation.
Yeah, well, it worked.
That's what I do. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that is my job on this podcast.
But I also do it to you, so that was fair. Okay, so I get up this morning and I just find this very... I don't know. It's disingenuous. Am I saying that word right? Now that I is back to you for the pronunciation. Disingenuous, is that correct?
I would say in a mischievous sort of way. That sounds right to me.
Okay. So I get up and I open my email and I have all these birthday greetings, Pat. I have a birthday greeting from my bank. I have a birthday greeting from my credit card company. I have a birthday greeting from my dental office. I have a birthday greeting from my realtor. And I had a birthday greeting from Hulu. Hulu, the streaming service.
Oh,
hey,
my
Lisa
God.
Foster.
They are happy, such a nice streaming service.
Happy birthday. I'm like, really? I don't give a crap about these people wishing me a happy birthday. I want the Pat Cashmans of the world to wish me a happy birthday.
Yeah, give me something. Hulu, give me 3 months free if you love me so.
It just seems so weird that companies, why do they do that? I'm like, I don't care. You don't even care about me. You don't even know me. You just have my birthday on your file because I have an account with you.
Oh, you know why they do it.
Am I supposed to be like, oh, that is so nice of my bank?
Yeah, of course that's what they think.
That's really, really sweet. It's annoying the hell.
It works with some people. It must, or they wouldn't keep doing it.
No, it doesn't. I'd like to know one person who gets up and is super excited that their dentist office wished them a happy birthday. I doubt it. I mean, it's dumb. Stop it. Just stop it. So that's my public service announcement for the day. Just stop it. Don't spend time. We know you're faking it. We know you don't mean it. You don't care. You just want us to keep doing business with you so you can make money off us. Oh, we'll just wish her a happy birthday, and then she'll think we like her. So I started my birthday off being annoyed.
But it reminds me that these companies, this is not even a good transition, but you reminded me that I wanted to bring up the idea of search history on the internet.
Okay.
And have you ever done that with yourself? Have you looked back at your search history, even just like for 2 or 3 days?
Can I stop you there? Because it's astonishing what my search history turns into after I've had 2 martinis. It's very different from when I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah, it's true.
You wouldn't believe the crap I search.
No, you wouldn't believe the crap I search. I think if someone was trying to make a case that Pat Cashman is insane, they would just say, and Exhibit A, Your Honor, look at his search history. It's just so random. It's weird. Yeah. Like I'm watching TV. They mention somebody's name. Mm-hmm. They mention, I don't know, some topic or a history. And I got to look it up. I got to know what
it
is.
I do too.
And I do it all the time. I was watching a political show. And they had a guy on there named Andy Kim. He is a U.S. congressman from New Jersey. Very interesting man. But I said, wait a minute, Andy Kim? Wasn't there another Andy Kim? So I got on my search history. Yes, Andy Kim that had a hit song called Rock Me Gently. And then I found out that Andy Kim co-wrote Sugar Sugar.
The Archies. Sugar. Oh,
honey, honey. But the Archies were a fictional band. But one time I got a call. I said, hey, Pat, would you MC an event? The Archies are going to be performing in concert. And I said, wait a minute, aren't the Archies a fictional band? And they said, yeah, but they got a bunch of guys together to play the Archies songs. And so they called themselves the Archies. So I remember introducing them. That song, Sugar Sugar, was the most successful bubblegum song of all time by a long shot.
I
just can't believe the
wonder of this feeling. I had that record that I cut off the back of a cereal box. Remember when they would put records that would actually play on the back of a cereal box?
Yeah.
I'm not even
kidding. No, I do remember.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first record I cut off the back of a cereal box.
Did it play?
And it played, Pat. It played.
You didn't mention that before.
Well, for gosh sakes.
And then I got further search history. I just got into this rabbit hole. And did anybody ever cover Sugar Sugar? Yeah. Among others, Wilson Pickett. Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow your Mustang down. Wilson the Stinkin' Pickett covered Sugar Sugar. I'll play it at the end of the podcast. I couldn't believe it. But your search history reveals a lot about you.
I'm looking at mine. I'm not even going to tell you what's in mine. But you know what did happen? I woke up this morning and, I mean, I went to my Amazon shopping cart and I had somehow, after a martini or 12 last night, I had a $100 bottle of perfume in my Amazon shopping cart.
Oh, no.
Did you? I'm like, what the hell did I do? Thank God I didn't click buy. God. So I took it out this morning. I shouldn't be.
Remember I had a friend, and I mentioned this before. He told me the next day, he said, I got really drunk last night and I was lying on my bed watching television. And the next morning I got up and I thought, oh, what the hell? I had my credit card sitting on my bed next to me. What did I do? 2 weeks later, the best of Willie Nelson shows up at his house.
He said,
I hate Willie Nelson.
On the road again.
I don't like Willie Nelson.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
But I just thought it looked so good on TV. I was so convinced this would be great.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
I think it's a mistake to watch late night television. You know, stations used to sign off at the end by 11 o'clock or whenever the Tonight Show was over. They'd sign off, and this TV would be dark. Now, then somebody said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is time we're giving away for free. We could make more money. And that was the birth of the infomercial, of course. So you can see stuff all night long.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
Okay, so...
I have a couple of things I need to bring up, but I know you do too.
I have nothing important to bring up.
You have nothing important?
Nothing.
That's not like you. Everything is important.
I have things to bring up, but they're not important.
Well, then now that's making me feel like mine's not really important
either. Yours will be.
Do you want to? Well, the first thing I wanted to bring up was, I don't know if you saw this little blurb about, AI is a very hot topic these days.
What does that stand for?
Artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence.
I don't know
AI.
If you're pronouncing that correctly, but go ahead.
All right. So McDonald's, I don't ever go to McDonald's. I mean, I hate that I used to go and it's just so bad for you. But don't sue us, McDonald's. Sue Pat. Don't sue me. But they apparently had this little test run of AI-powered drive-through windows. There were about not very many locations. It was just an experiment. So it was about 100 different McDonald's restaurants. So there weren't real people at the drive-in window now. There was just this powered by AI and it was supposed to do all this stuff. And apparently they decided to end this little experiment after customers complained of frequent errors, like adding 9 sweet teas and $220 worth of McNuggets to your order. And then once time they topped an ice cream cone with bacon. These AI things. So they scrapped it and said, yeah, we're back to people. So, you know, I feel like, have you had any run-ins with something that was handled by AI that I just get really tired of when I'm searching for something and AI comes up and gives me the answer? I'm like, no, I want a real person with critical thinking skills and nuance. And I don't know. I don't like this AI stuff. It doesn't feel accurate to me. I don't want I don't want a machine that's been told what to do to tell me things. Does that?
Yeah.
You don't care?
I even said anything.
Well, sorry.
What the hell?
I'm attacking you because I'm feeling an argument. I feel like you're going to argue with me on my birthday.
What?
And you already scared me yesterday.
Let me just say this, and I'll say it right now, Lisa. I don't care.
You don't. No,
that's not me saying that. See, that's artificial intelligence. Anything else okay, to bring up before I bring you what I think is one of the greatest jokes of all time?
Okay, I have one more thing I want to bring up and see what your take is on this. So I'm walking through the neighborhood this past couple week or so with a friend, and we see a
now
sign.
I believe, since you're the language guru here, that you say I'm walking through the neighborhood like 2 weeks ago. So you've changed tenses there. You should say I walked through the neighborhood about 2 weeks
or
ago.
Or added, I was walking
there.
Through
okay.
the neighborhood.
So start over.
So I'm walking through the neighborhood.
Oh, you did it again.
A couple of weeks ago with a friend. And we see a sign in the yard of a neighbor. And the sign says this. It says, proud parent of a Lake Forest Park Elementary graduate. And my friend looks at me and he goes, wow, what, did the kid not have a head? Yeah. Or why was it so chill? Yeah. Why are they so proud the kid got out of elementary
school? Who doesn't graduate from elementary school?
Exactly. And it's so, this is so prevalent now where there's these graduation ceremonies and things happening for preschool. My nephew is in a cap and gown with his getting out of preschool this year.
And
somebody made the argument, well, you know, it's a big accomplishment. I'm like, you know what? I do not recall elementary school being that difficult. I remember it being pretty easy to get through. So I don't know why I'm so mad about it, but it's like, people, calm down. There was nothing challenging about your child unless he didn't have a head. I would give you that. If he didn't have a head, then yeah, good on him for getting through elementary school, because that's not easy.
You're going to feel bad when you find out that that kid doesn't have a head. And you're going to go, hey.
Yeah, I know.
Hello, I noticed your sign in the front yard. Jimmy, come here. I just wanted to say, I wanted to congratulate your son, and I bought him this Mariners baseball cap. Oh, he won't be wearing that. Why is that?
Because he doesn't have a head. Oh my God, I'm going to hell.
Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head.
All right.
Okay, I'm done.
Here we go. Here we go.
Okay, stop for 1 second, Pat, because I need to go close the door because the mowers are here and the dogs can't be out. So don't go, just say, okay, here we go. I'll be right back in 2 seconds. Okay. Hold on. I didn't know the mowers were coming right now.
You don't mow your own lawn. We're waiting for the...
Okay, here we go.
Get the dogs in before the mowers come. She's too lazy to...
They usually don't come this late, which is why I thought it was safe to have the back door open. Okay, I'm back. Okay, here we go.
All right. One summer, a bachelor farmer hires this college student to help around the farm because he's a bachelor, got a big property. And the farmer says, son, since you've done such a fine job here this summer, I've decided I'm going to throw a party for you.
This is the bachelor farmer saying this?
I'm so proud of you. I'm going to throw a party for you. You've been doing a great job for me. You better be able to handle a few beers because there's going to be a lot of drinking going on.
Oh, that's okay. I'm a college man. I can hold my liquor. Believe you me, I should do just fine.
There's also going to be a lot of fighting, so I hope you can handle yourself with your fists.
Well, again, I've been working hard all summer, and I think I'm in pretty good shape to defend myself.
All right, good. Okie dokie. Did I mention that there's going to be a lot of sex, too?
Oh, well, that's great, because I've been out here all summer without a date, and I've been dying for some action. So... that's going to be great. By the way, sir.
Yeah?
What should I wear to this party?
I don't care what you wear. It's just going to be me and you.
Really, Pat? Really? That's the joke? Hello?
No, that's not it.
But just you wait until the next podcast. It's going to be a doozy.
Sugar. Honey, honey. You are my candy girl. You got me wanting you. Sugar.
For listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.